Good morning, and welcome to the Project Joy radio show. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Here is our assignment from yesterday. Or here is our assignment from yesterday. Eternity is not the hereafter. Eternity has nothing to do with time. This is it. If you don't get it here, you won't get it anywhere. The experience of eternity right here and now is the function of life. Heaven is not the place to have the experience. Here's the place to have the experience. We've all had those heavenly moments. What we don't always realize, remember, is that each moment to which we're fully present is an experience of heaven. Today, practice bringing attention and awareness to this here now, and yet let yourself have as many experiences of heaven as you choose.
I love that. Let yourself have as many experiences of heaven as you choose. Mm. It's not as you can or as are allowed to you. It's as we choose. Mm. And for everybody who gets peace quotes, the peace quote today by Thomas Merton is a fabulous, another way of looking at that same experience. So I hope when people read the peace quote, they refer back to this one because he gives us wonderful advice for the how-to aspect of that. Yeah.
Well, here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello. Hi, this is Ian.
Hi there. Hi, Ian.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Ashwini. Well, I'm so glad to be talking to you. So this was an awesome week in terms of practice, not in terms of content, in life, but so one of the things that I won't talk about the whole week, but kindness kept coming up as kind of a keystone to living an open life, and that theme, kindness and compassion, just kept coming back, and I'm glad it came in that order, because when we were talking about compassion, I think it was a quote from the Dalai Lama, it was sort of like ego got in there and was like, oh, compassion, that's for holy people, that's for spiritual leaders, and you're not really there yet. And, I caught it. I was like, that sounds really nasty. And, of course, I'm compassionate. But it was just this, knee-jerk reaction that kind of came. And
from ego.
From ego, clearly, yeah.
Right, who doesn't want you to... desperately wants you not to realize that compassion is not what we do, it's what we are.
Yeah, right. It wasn't sort of, just part and being a part of compassion as well, that's sort of helpful to see, so that it breaks down kind of connections between people and other living beings. Just kind of living in this sea of compassion, as it were.
Yes.
That's very nice. And then yesterday specifically, we had a couple of days ago, we had our car stolen, and we just have one car that we share, and we don't know when it's coming back, if ever, and, we're talking to all kinds of people, and it's been a big hassle, and there's so many ways to see how bad that is, but actually, I think because of all this practice, I was like, oh, that's interesting. I wonder why it happened now, and we haven't had this happen in, 19 years we've owned this thing, and it's been parked outside our house, and then what do you do? Well, you talk to all these nice people that are here actually to kind of help you, encourage you, and friends are offering rides and loaning their cars and all this kind of thing. And then, I'm riding the bus more and meeting people on the bus and hearing interesting conversations and, having to change my schedule and just all these kind of minor things that just, there were so many opportunities yesterday to really just drop into this here now, and this, I guess from the quote called the, the heavenly moments. And it could happen in the bank waiting, to get form notarized, or at the grocery store, or waiting for the bus in the cold driving rain. It really, really didn't matter. So it was actually, it was a wonderful, wonderful day, and a good juxtaposition. And I kind of contrast that to last weekend when we did have the car and we were able to go take a trip out of town, and then ego was still there, throwing me, I was really in the dark room. I was really full of sort of despair of so many things, and emotions were overtaking me. And it's in a beautiful setting in or near a beach and so on, and there were friends around. So it was so apparent that it really, really, really doesn't make any difference what the external environment is doing. It's helpful to have a nice, clean environment.
Only if you're there to enjoy it, right?
Yeah, that's kind of, being present in that,
Yeah, otherwise you're having a better time waiting for the bus in the cold and the driving rain, because you're actually there, alive in the experience that is happening to you, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It's so counter to what we've been taught to believe, isn't it? If you have all, there you are on a beach and you're surrounded by friends, and there's our Hallmark card image of happiness.
Right.
But if you're not there to enjoy it, it's not a good time.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. It was so apparent. And again, I was glad it came in that order too, sort of the last weekend. Mm-hmm. Everything should have been just right, supposedly. And I should have been having this certain experience type of thing. And yesterday should have been terrible. I had to take time off. I had to hike to the store to get groceries, and then I had to take the bus to the bank and all this stuff. But it was actually
awful.
It should have been, but it wasn't.
Right. But it wasn't. I love that. Now, Ian, you're making a lot of recordings about this, right?
Yes, I am.
Because is conditioning going to want you to forget this? Because going back to that, my experience in life is dependent upon externals. It's just paramount. It's one of the primary building blocks of ego's control of people's lives. And when you stop believing that, you have stepped into a level of freedom that ego is going to have a very difficult time pulling you back from. So lots of recordings.
Okay, sounds good.
And listen often. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's one of those, listen every morning for a month. Okay, until it really is deeply embedded in your awareness that, no, it's up to me. I just open my eyes and I get to choose how I want my life to be. I get to choose compassion, gratitude, love, kindness, presence. It is within my skill set to choose that in every moment. And you've proved it to yourself.
Right.
All right.
Right. Lovely.
Well, take good care of yourself.
Great.
All right.
Okay. Thank you. God show to you.
Uh-huh.
Bye.
God show. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Ian. It's exactly what we were looking at in group last night, right, Jerry? That we're creative with our reality. Might as well choose a reality that's happy.
Yes. Yes. Might as well go about things looking for kindness.
Yes.
Might as well focus on the goodness that people are offering and being. Why not? We can look for anything. And when we prove to ourselves that those things are always there, primarily because we're projecting them, and the fact that we're projecting doesn't mean it's not true, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what we see is what we get.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, and it dropped in that there's an experience of when consciousness is not obfuscated, if you will, by the ego lens, then all we see is consciousness. And consciousness always has those attributes of compassion and kindness. So it's not really that we're making up a reality as choosing to see consciousness in its inherent purity, in the attributes of kindness and compassion, rather than seeing the ego version, the ego lens that stands before that. That's really the choice we're making.
Yes, we're choosing to see what actually is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's the most essential point, really. Because you're right, the voices would want to chime in with, okay, well, fine, Pollyanna, just make up all this happy nonsense, but look around at the world. There's a lot of suffering and all these things. Mm-hmm. And if we fall for that, we will lose sight of the choice that we all have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Janice.
Hello, Janice.
I'm hoping you can hear me.
We can hear you.
Oh, good. Yeah. So I love that, the choice and the quote, the Thomas Merton quote, too, being changed by the fire. I'm actually sitting in the car under a huge cedar tree, sort of looking out over a misty ocean, because I'm not at home, but I needed to find a quiet place so I could dial in. And I just, you know, we arrived here yesterday for a little holiday and by the seaside, and it's snowing.
And oh, that is so wrong, isn't it?
and now it's just sort of misty and rainy, and it was just like, oh my God, this is all we came to do was to have a different view, and isn't that perfect?
You're having a different view.
And I noticed that, you know, because it's sort of, it's simple, it's not far away, it was a short ferry ride, and it was just a change. Thinking, well, we'll just do this. This is a break. We'll go for 3 days. And having no plan, and just kind of discovering things. And all those, the stuff that the ego would say should happen, it doesn't happen. It doesn't even, nothing matters. And what I noticed was, you know, in the choice, feeling some sort of, as soon as some little irritation arises, and it could be about situation, it could be about a place, a person, whatever, I was just using it as a catalyst to say, I don't even have to have this experience of this sensation or emotion.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And the sensation can be right there in the body, but I don't have to go into a story about what it means and who I am and who they are and what that is and what's wrong. And I don't need to do that, because it could have just been breakfast, right? I had that breakfast, and now I've got that sensation in my body, and those voices of ego are going to make it into a big story about this irritation and how this isn't the way I want it to be and this shouldn't be happening. But if I just stay with it, if I just stay present and continue to breathe, that sensation just passes away, and all that drama went with it.
Yeah, and you know, I've been trying to be in the queue, and I'm, you know, on the phone, and then I thought, okay, well, today I'm just not going to be able to do that because, you know, we're sharing a place and stuff. And then it was like, no, I don't think so. I think I could go to the car, and I could, you know, and maybe I could even just drive somewhere where I don't know and find an empty road and sit and wait. Oh. And it's so perfect.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah. It is, isn't it? When we look for the gifts, when we look for the perfection, it's there. It's always there. in any circumstance.
That's what I love.
I love it.
Oh, yeah. I love it. So thank you so much for all of this. I was, every day when I'm phoning in, I'm thinking, like, I have no idea what I'm going to say. And then there's some days where ego just says, oh, I sure hope you're not unmuted. Because you don't have any idea what you're going to say. And
and inside you're just saying, oh, I hope I'm unmuted, because life always has something to offer. I'll just be there and see what that is.
Yeah, even if it's just watching those sensations.
Yeah, exactly. No standards, just present, just alive, happy to be alive, grateful to be here. That's enough.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And thank you. Yeah, thank you, everybody. And I was just thinking that it's almost like the whole practices, you know, as they're building, it almost turns, they all kind of mush together. You know, like, it's like, oh, well, am I practicing kindness, or is it compassion, or is it non-fear, or is it...
I really don't remember.
Yeah. But I know
and
I have a choice.
It really doesn't matter, does it?
It doesn't matter. I just know I have a choice.
Yes, and you can enjoy it. All right. Yeah. Thank you, Janet.
Yes, I'm going happy. Bye.
Go happy. There you go. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye, Janet. That was just it's just so wonderful, that synchronicity. When you least expect it, you're asked to answer, and therefore it always pays to be ready.
Yes. And in that, if we could get that, if we could get, I don't know, the voice in the head doesn't know. Nobody knows what the next minute is going to be. And so, you know, when we were little kids, that's kind of, you know, you're at the puppet show and you just can't wait for the next whatever. And you're so ready to be delighted and to laugh and to enjoy it. And if we can get just a particle of that as adults, so that we really realize, I don't know what the next moment's going to be. And so I want to be here to enjoy it as it unfolds. And I'm prepared to be delighted.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's also that place of that orientation, that when we choose not to believe that I don't have anything to say and choose to believe that life has something to say, it's going back to our earlier conversation with Ian, that what is so always has something to say, because there's always something going on in life, right? It's only the conditioned perspective that this is not something that you should say, or it's not worthy of saying, or there's nothing going on, or all of those conversations are only true in that conditioned reality. It's an affirmation of what we are, to be ready to say what life has to say.
Yes. And you know, you've just set me up. I cannot resist this. I'm gonna butcher another of my favorite quotes from the New Testament. So the disciples are going out and they're afraid, the climate is not good, it's really dangerous. And of course, like all conditioned human beings, they want to know, what do I do? What should I say? Right? And Jesus tells them, don't worry about it. When the time comes, what you need will be given to you. Now that is a universal, all the time. Everyone, you know, you don't have to have a special distinction as an apostle to have that promise. That is the way life works, and that's always available to us. And as long as we're listening to a voice in our head that's saying, "Oh, you can't say that, you can't think that," or then that's not going to be available to you. But as soon as we drop that and we trust completely that everything we need is being given to us in every moment, no more worry, no more stress, no more cares, no more problems.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay, well, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
This is Joyce.
Joyce.
Good morning. The eternity is not the hereafter, kind of was brought to me yesterday. A dear friend passed, and I had been sitting with that friend the evening before. And then I went over to her house and sat, just was there and present, and the peace in that, the P-E-A-C-E, in that was so profound because of this practice that I was sitting there without expectation and just, I can't describe it. And there was such sweetness in the way she had been cared for, and just the not an expectation, and not all the things that I had seen before in my life around death, that pretty much I'm at a loss for words, but I wanted to say that because of the things that we've been doing, how that's just helped me be in this here now and not get all flustered around all of that.
Mm-hmm. In that way that ego likes to do, to not make her passing about you.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Because that's what ego wants to do, is insert us in the middle of everybody's life instead of being able to just realize that we're a bit player, and possibly the bit that we can offer is unconditional love.
Yes. Yeah. And I was there after. I spent part of the day there and just walking around the house, being there. And there was just an appreciation for her as a person and all the things she'd done. And there was just it was like I wanted to stay just a little longer. And then I realized that the presence was there of how I knew her, and that it just dropped in that when I came back again, that would be different.
Well, we don't need to assume anything. One of the things that you might consider, it's a very Buddhist kind of an approach to these situations, is to talk to her as she makes that transition, and just focus on every good thing about her. Let her know what a great job she did in this lifetime, and what you appreciate and what you received from her, the difference she made in people's lives, everything that you're grateful for about her. And at each time a thought of her drops into conscious awareness, just tell her those things. Instead of, you know, that temptation to go off into a story about how something is going to be, because we don't know. But that's something that you can do, you know, in that way that that we talk about how you say it is how it is, that the conversation that you're in, that I'm in, that everybody's in, the conversation is a tremendous influence on everything. And so to stay in that place of appreciation and expressing that, that's a lovely tribute to her, and I think a great gift.
Thank you. Yes, I'm going to go back there today and help with some things, and I love that.
Yeah, and you can do that all the time. Where, again, anytime an image of her, a thought of her drops into conscious awareness, talk to her, tell her. All right.
Thank you, Joyce.
Thank you, Joyce. It's so important that we have a practice, right, Sherry, that allows us to stay here for every moment, every here moment.
Yes. Yeah. Because again, the conditioning is so deep to leave this moment for something else. You know, to
read the story.
In this case, you know, that I'm going to think about this person that I have loved and who's no longer, but that's not the same as being in relationship with. And that relationship with happens in the moment. The story takes us somewhere else.
Yeah. I think we have time for one more caller, Sherry, so I'm going to bring them online.
Lovely.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Ashwini. It's Beth from Denver.
Hello,
hey, Beth.
So, yes, to everything, I'm waiting here for life to drop something in because at the beginning of the call, I put my name in the queue regardless of what conditioning had told me, which was, you didn't practice yesterday and you don't have anything to say, you know, much like everybody is talking about. But I will tell you, once I'm in the queue, I am present. Because
yeah.
Because I'm waiting to see, is that am I going to hear, you are now unmuted.
Uh-huh. And what an image for how we can be in life. Right? That one that I love so much, Hello Life, I'm available. Right? So I'm in the queue. Right?
Yeah.
I'm in the queue. And I'm present. And
yeah.
I'm ready. Okay, what now? I'm unmuted.
Exactly. And it's the puppet show image too, you know. I want to see what happens.
Yes. Yeah, I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss a second of this. This is, talk about the greatest show on earth. Right?
Yeah.
And in every moment, we get to see life unfolding. We get to see the miracles being revealed. Why would we want to be off thinking about something or listening to a voice chastise us for not practicing yesterday?
Yeah.
Oh, like that's practice. Right? Listening to a voice criticize my practice. Well, there's practice. No.
Well, exactly. And just as you say that, I mean, I did record yesterday about that choice. And what came up for me was that quote. I don't remember who it's from either, but somebody who's done practice, about the difference between heaven and hell is, you know, 1/1000th of a millimeter or something. It's within the first couple of stanzas of this, something about the mind. I can't remember who did it, but anyway. But it is that place of, you know, it's either heaven or it's hell. It's my choice of how I want to experience it.
Yes. Yeah. If I'm in yes and thank you, it's heaven. If I'm in no and poor me, lack of gratitude, then it's hell. And there's nothing. That's what I love so much about people proving that for themselves, right? That notion of everything is, in quotes, going wrong, and I'm right here and happy and grateful. Then everything is perfect. You know, I planned this vacation for 5 years, spent a fortune. I'm miserable. Good. Now we're seeing how it really works. And once we see that, ooh.
Yeah.
That's keeping us down on the farm.
Well, yeah, and what comes up for me when you say that is that that choice conditioning wants to make me believe is really hard, and it's not.
Uh-huh.
It's the easiest thing in the world. It is literally just looking at something completely different. And, you know, I love what the other callers shared with today, you know, about the different ways that people were, looking at things that would normally be categorized as, well, this isn't good. But it's like, well, maybe, you know, if I just shift from that 1/1000th of a millimeter, I can be right here with.
Yes. Yeah. So, and in practice, we have so many great things for it, right? So I can't, as soon as it occurs to me, you know, this is not where I want to live. I'm not having the experience that I want to have. And it does drop in like that, right? There's an awareness of you don't have to be doing this. And so you can just jump up and down three times, turn around and find a tree and say, I love you. And you're in heaven. Right now, the voices, of course, are going to come in and say, well, that didn't work. That's stupid. That doesn't change anything. So jump up and down three more times and find another tree to say, I love you, too. And keep doing it. It's like the, you know, the dad who taught his kids, say thank you until you mean it. It's that. Just keep finding beautiful things that you're grateful for until that shift happens.
Yeah.
And that's one more confirmation that it is our choice.
Absolutely. I'll just share this, and I know it's time to go, but one day last week, for one of the days of practice, I just decided to dance whenever I stood up to go to another room, to dance my way to the other room. And conditioning was you know, all over it with, you can't, what? No. And I why? I'm going to do it. I'm pretty sure I can do it. I'm pretty sure there's no.
I'm a rebel.
I can't do it.
Right? I'm a rebel for life.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So thank you. Thank you for the show. Thank you for the support. Much appreciated.
It's a pleasure. I think I'll take you. I'll take a page out of your book and just start dancing from activity to activity. Hard to take ego seriously. When we're dancing along to the next thing.
Oh, so true. Well, fabulous.
All right. Thank you, Beth.
Thank you.
Thanks, Beth.
Thanks.
Me too. I think I'll dance my way to the next activity. And the next activity, I'm going to be dancing while I read the next assignment, Sherry. The epitome of the human realm is to be stuck in a huge traffic jam of discursive thought.
The epitome of the what?
Human realm is to be stuck in a huge traffic jam of discursive thought.
Wow. That's what it feels like, isn't it? When we're trapped in that, in conditioned mind, and that the endless stories, and they just loop back and forth, and it's like you're stuck on a bridge somewhere, and there's 8 miles of traffic stopped in front of you and 8 miles behind you, and that's what it's like to be caught in ego's web.
So do you find yourself in a familiar mental traffic jam regularly? Would you say a lot of the time? Today, RL, whenever you notice you're in a jam, take a breath, walk outside, gaze at the sky, a tree, a blossom, or some green grass for a few breaths. Consciously focus on the breaks in the mental traffic. Record and listen to your experience of being present to the flow of the breath and a spacious mind.
Nice.
Well, when you're stuck in a traffic jam with no exits, it's only possible to dance where you are.
Yeah. Yeah, it takes me back, just briefly, takes me back to the, I think it was in this conversation where the woman was telling us about being stuck in traffic on a highway of people attempting to evacuate from a dam that was on the verge. They did not know if it would hold for the next hour, and 30 feet of water was going to come down in a tsunami-like fashion over them as they sat there in traffic. And she talked about how the moon just rose up over the mountains in the distance. and it was perfect peace.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there we are. All right. Thank you so much, Ashwini.
You too, Sherry. See you. Well, we don't actually see each other till Monday. So
that's
See you Monday.
But we'll have assignments so everybody can watch for the assignments, of course, and we'll practice Saturday and Sunday and then catch up on Monday. All right.
Be
happy. Thank you. Thanks, everybody.